As we're wrapping up the last year, and I was looking at some different things on my computer, I was really thinking about last year's theme of get outside. And also along those lines, I've been doing a lot of work for the prospective missions trip this summer out to Arizona, to Tisnos Pas Emmanuel Mission Station. And so I've really been thinking on missions. And one of the things I've been thinking, preparing for this trip in just the preliminary stages, but trying to figure out who can come. There's some people that would love to come but can't come physically. They have limitations that would hinder them from doing that, and some people that have jobs that would hinder them from doing that. And there's all these different things that go into that, and how different people can be involved, and thinking who has the ability to be able to run the kitchen, who has the ability to teach the clubs, who has the ability to work on the work projects and has skilled labor and all this. And it's amazing how many different pieces go together into just a 1 week trip, and how many different skill sets and gifts are needed in order for this to work and to go together. And so I was thinking about ministry, and I was thinking about these things, and I was reading in Romans, and Romans chapter 10. Let me make sure I get my references right. Yeah, Romans 10, verses 14 and 15. It says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel. I would say that every one of us in this room hopefully wants to have beautiful feet in that sense. We all want to be people that bring the gospel to people, right? And as I was reading this, it says, how can they hear unless it's preached to them? And I thought of, what if someone asked me, hey, did you hear about this new movie that's coming out? Now, I could have heard about the new movie that's coming out or new TV show in several different ways. I could have heard other people talking about it. I could have been interested in something of that like topic and researched and found it on my own, perhaps. I could have seen it on TV. I could have been approached directly about it and told about this different thing. And I was thinking of all these different ways that we can all be involved in having people hear the gospel and having people hear about this thing that is Jesus Christ dying for them. And so, without getting into all these different gifts and all these different limitations, I want to just put out three things that we can all do to be involved with getting the gospel out, with how we can all have beautiful feet. And they're really simple things. I'm not going to reveal something grand to you that you've never heard of or that you've never thought of before, but we all need to be reminded of these things on a regular basis. At least I know I do. And so I want to have, I have 3 points. I have pray, give, and go. Pray, give, and go. These are 3 ways that we can all be active in sharing the gospel to unreached people groups and to all people groups, maybe those that just need to hear them again. If you'll flip over to Colossians with me or listen as I read, I'm going to read from Colossians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. Colossians 4, starting in verse 3. "With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak." Here, we have the writer of Colossians asking people to pray that doors would be opened. The doors would be opened in people's lives, I think, and also in him, in his voice, that he would be able to go into these different places and that he would be able to share the gospel with people. And why would he be asking for this prayer unless it had an effect on these things? You know, I was reading in a book the other day, and it hit me. And once again, this is something I'm sure you've heard before, but it said, if what you are doing in your ministry can be achieved without prayer, it is not worth doing. Because the fact is that if we're in our ministry and we're doing things and they can be achieved of this world, to do anything real in this world, to have people saved, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need Him helping and working together with us. We need prayer to open doors. And there are so many people that need prayer to open the doors for the gospel. You know, we have this missionary prayer handbook. And these things, I'm sure, take a massive amount of time to make. They take money to print, and I'm sure that costs the chapel something to put them out there on the table. And man, if we, just every single person in this room took these and prayed for these people on these days, imagine the doors that would be opened to these people for the gospel to reach these unreached people groups. We don't all have to necessarily go out there and be those people, but we all should be the people that pray for those people. Pray for the ones that are out there that have never heard the gospel, for those that are fighting against the gospel, and for those that are out there trying to preach the gospel. We need to be doing this. We need to be praying in our personal lives and in our quiet time. We need to be praying that the gospel would go out. We need to be praying in our groups. And thankfully, the elders have seen fit to remind us of that about missions every time we come together on Wednesdays. But in our life groups, in our family units, we need to be praying that doors would be opened, that the gospel would go forth, because this is the heart of Jesus. It is not His will that any should perish. And if we want His will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, then this is definitely one of the things that we should be praying for. And I hope that we are. We would pray and do that. The second thing that many of us can do is give. Give. We see over in Romans that these people must be sent out to preach. And how are they going to be sent out to preach if there's not support for them to be able to do that? Let's flip over to Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. We're going to read verses 14 through 20. Philippians 4, 14 through 20. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. See here that by giving, his needs were met. Once and again they were met. Verse 17, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things that were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. So in verse 16 there we see that this was out on the missions field, and his needs were met by the giving of fellow believers. They saw that he was in need, and they gave. And his needs were met. See, without this, we see Paul many, many times saying, I know how to be content, whether I have what other people may think I need or not. And you know, I can brag on my wife for a second. She is extremely smart. And she is able to handle a huge workload. And the other day, her and her mom had a conversation about the fact that their definition of capacity is different from some fellow coworkers. Some other coworkers may say, oh no, my plate is full. Whereas some other people say, no, I've still got room to take on more. You know, when we're in Christ, we learn how to be content with such things as we have. Other people may say, no, I need more than this to survive. But Paul learned that, no, that's not the case, but he learned to be where he was. But the fact is that no matter how content you may be starving to death, the fact is you still need food. And no matter how content you may be in a situation where you are unsafe or unsheltered, maybe that's God's will for you to be there, but how disgusting it is that we have the ability to help those people out and to put them in a position where they can live longer and share the gospel more to these people, and we don't do it. We should be giving to missions. You know, in those verses, it says something pretty crazy. I think it says that what was sent was an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable and well-pleasing to God. Man, right here we're having laid out for us something that we can do that is a sweet-smelling savor to God and that is a sacrifice well-pleasing. If that doesn't just make us want to jump on that train, be like, this is something that's well-pleasing to God, this is something that's a sweet-smelling sacrifice to Him, that's what I want to be doing. I want to be giving so that the needs of missionaries can be met, so that the gospel can go forth, and so that people will hear the truth. You know, I hope that that is your mindset there, and you're thinking, well, yeah, okay, I should give, but how and where? There's a lot of different ways that it can be done, and there's no one right way or wrong way. Pray, talk to God. You know, you can give to the chapel here. We have specific times in which it's missions-oriented things, and those go out to missionaries. There's also CMML. They handle a lot of missionaries, and I'm sure they would know where to put money in different places. Also, I'm sure you could open this book and other missions books to any of those people, and they could use what you could have to give, whether it's a little or whether it's a lot, to individual ministries, to or missionaries. There's places at home and abroad that want to and have plans to get the gospel to more people, but the limitation is finances. And we, in America, are very, very wealthy. Overall, we're in the, even the lowest of us in this room are in the top 1% in worldwide. And I can show you the stats on that if you want to. We have a tremendous amount of wealth, and we have the opportunity to give a sweet-smelling sacrifice to God, and I hope that we're doing it. This is a practical, giving financially is a practical way to reach unreached people, to get the gospel out there. And so we have pray and give. You know, there's some people that may not be able to give. We can all pray. So we're dropping off maybe a few. Everyone can pray. Most of us in this room can give, at least to some account. And then the last one is go. And there are a lot of verses that I could read, but I'm running out of time. Acts 13:47, Mark 16:15, Matthew 25:19-20, Luke 10:2. All of these tell us to go, 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 go into the world and preach the gospel. Go to these people and to that people and make it known to everyone how Jesus Christ is the way. We are supposed to be going and doing this. You know, there's a lot of ways that we can do this. One thing is locally. Locally and in our own personal lives, we can be active in going out and sharing the gospel. We're all here today, which means that we're all mobile to some extent. We go to the grocery store, we go to the gas station, and we need to make it a point and make it an extra effort and intentional in our lives that when we go out locally on a day-to-day basis, that we are being involved in getting the gospel to people. Maybe that means that each week you take one track or 10 tracks and you say, I'm going to give this out before next Sunday. Maybe it means that every day when you go to a certain place or go about your certain way that you're going to say, hey, I'm not going to go home until I share the gospel verbally with one person. It means a different thing in different people's lives, but we need to be active in doing this. In Sunday school and in Mountain Movers, in open air, here we have C4K, a place we can go out and help to share the gospel of these children. Urban ministry, we do that. Many of you are in small groups, and Andrew came and talked to you about the WE shelter, the Winter Emergency Shelter. I was able to go with him a few weeks ago. It's a great ministry, and it's an amazing place to also meet other believers that are coming together. We need to be actively going out. Another thing is short-term. You know, short-term missions, sometimes we think, well, yeah, I'm just stuck to local. Well, there's short-term local missions like Mountaintop Youth Camp. Go up there and be a counselor. Some of you may think I'm too old for that. Talk to Mark. I'm sure he would love to have some people that are older for Excel Week. Truly, these people are adults and they can manage themselves. They don't need someone to take care of them, but they need someone with wisdom and guidance to help them. And even the younger people, all of those things for weeks or months. Maybe you can volunteer in the kitchen at camp or other things. You can look at coming on the missions trip this summer with us out to Arizona. We're looking this summer to make it not only a youth group thing, but if there are other people that want to come, we're not going to limit them to being able to come out and share the gospel with these people. I tell you, it is an amazing experience you will not forget. Being able to, we go to Arizona, but the Navajo Nation is actually a separate nation, and they have their own laws and rules, and inside of that, there's an entirely different way of life and a chance to truly share the gospel with people that are unreached people group. And the experience in that is unforgettable. And then there's long-term missions. I hope, and we hope that here at the chapel, that we are producing people that go out into long-term missions, that go out for years and months and lifetimes because they have read this word and they have read these verses and see, I am supposed to go out. And I want people to hear the gospel because that is the heart of my Savior, for people to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. So I hope that over the past year and over the next year and all of those that we have left in this lifetime that we can pray, give, and go. And if you're doing any of those three things, awesome. If you can do any more of those three things, then do it. I'm not saying it, the Bible's saying it. Let's do these things together. Let's be a church that sees the gospel go out and that each of us, no matter our gifts and our abilities and our standing in life, that we are doing these things and honoring our Father in heaven. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this day that you've given us. I thank you that you have given us these ways of praying, of giving, and of going out to have beautiful feet that share the gospel with people. Lord, I pray that we would be actively involved in ministries that help people hear of you, whether that's on the internet or the television or the radio or in person or through the printed word. Lord, that we would be giving and active in helping people come to you. Lord, help us to commit ourselves to praying daily, weekly, monthly, and yearly for these people that are going out. I pray and I ask you right now that for those names that were mentioned tonight from this book, that you would open doors for them. Lord, that you would keep them safe, that you would help them, and you would help them to preach your word effectively and strongly and with your Spirit. Lord, I ask that you would help us to have a renewed mind of giving towards missions, because this is your heart, and this is your goal, and this is our purpose. You told us to do it. And Lord, help us to each and every one of us be evangelists that go out locally, short-term and long-term, whatever your will has for us to do, and help us not to shy away from it, even though it may be difficult or out of our comfort zone. In your Son's name, amen.